chaos and confusion, there are but two geeks who can clear everything up. Anna and Dave, Geek World, Thursdays at noon on 92.5 KYHY Burbank.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, superhosts, Anime and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio.
Wow.
I know, right?
That was good.
I know.
You should do like auctions, maybe. That's really fast.
Yeah.
I can't even believe that.
Well,
that's amazing.
Believe it.
Motor mouth. Okay.
So bromance. So,
oh, yes.
So,
it's guy love.
It is. We were talking about heroes, and we got through Hero and Ando.
Yes.
Let's talk about Matt and Mohinder.
Yeah, this one, I don't know what exactly they were going for on this one, but it was not a good idea.
I was totally with them with Matt and the Turtle.
Yeah.
Remember Matt and the Turtle?
Yeah.
Remember the Turtle?
Mm-hmm.
Where the heck did the Turtle go? Oh, you know what else? Where did Matt and Mohinder's little daughter go?
Yeah.
Because that was the really weird thing. You got Matt, you got Mohinder, and then somehow the two of them are living together with a little girl.
Yeah.
It was really, really weird.
Yeah,
they had a relationship where they had to, like, call each other and let each other know how they were, and it was like Papa Mohinder and Papa Matt, and it was creepy, creepy.
They were essentially two males in a relationship raising a child.
Yes, and now if they were two males in a relationship raising a child, that would be okay.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
No.
It was two weird guys who happened to decide to live together with a little girl.
Yeah, and I remember, you know, I think this was the second season this happened, where, of course, everything went horribly wrong. And I remember there was this whole scene where one of them was guilt-tripping the other one for not calling because the dinner got cold or something.
I was like, what
the hell are we watching?
When did
this show become this?
And then all of a sudden, like, the little girl disappeared. Never was mentioned again.
Yeah, yeah. And those two kind of broke up, and
all of a sudden, they didn't live together anymore, and they no longer had a daughter.
Yeah, the whole thing was just creepy and weird, and we're not really sure what happened, but we're glad it ended, because it was beyond bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, like, all I can say is that at least they didn't send one of those two to feudal Japan.
Yeah, exactly,
You know.
Maybe they should have.
I know, right?
Maybe that's where the little girl went.
Maybe she's
in feudal Japan. That would make a lot more sense, because I have no clue what happened to her.
Or Adam Monroe stole her into Pretty Mystic Falls.
Most likely, yeah. It's cool. He's on the show, right?
Yeah,
that guy is sufficiently evil, you know? They're just like, okay, you're evil. Be this evil character now.
I hope he turns out not to be as evil as he seems on Vampire
Diaries.
Well,
the problem is Vampire Diaries is the main characters are vampires,
and one
of the main characters is an evil vampire.
Good call.
So basically, the person against the evil vampire should be the hero,
but he's not.
Yeah, so we're kind of running into problems there.
Okay. Now we're on to another one of our actual favorite shows of this year.
Oh, yeah?
Human Target.
Yeah! Human Target.
Now, this is one of the few that I actually kind of consider a little borderline.
Yes, it's
But it's Chance and Winston.
Uh-huh.
Now, this one's borderline because it's kind of like, it's almost father-son kind of thing, like that kind of worry that Winston has for Chance.
I would say
But it's not.
I wouldn't say it's that. I would say that Winston's his mother hen.
Yeah, well, yes,
yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Mother, not father.
Because he, like, dotes over Chance, like, every chance that he gets. and it's not that he really messes with his relationships, but he often tells him to be careful with this girl or whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if the girl's, a cop or a good guy or a bad guy. It's always like, I don't know if you want to be doing that. Remember the last time?
Exactly.
Remember this? Remember that?
That's the thing.
Maybe you shouldn't be in a relationship, Chance.
Exactly. It doesn't seem like there's anything romantic between the two of them, but he definitely Winston's always concerned about Chance and what's going to happen to him, and also if he gets in these relationships with these girls, because he knows it's not going to work out.
And the fact that Chance exists ruins Winston's chances for a relationship.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
Because his whole job is just sort of protecting him and helping him do his thing.
Not to mention the fact that Chance, brought Guerrero around, which just, ruins any sort of privacy for Winston or anything.
Which is funny, because those two have a spat, and really the spat is between ex-cop and ex-assassin.
Yeah.
But when you look at it in a bromance-type view, it's, it's two guys competing over Chances.
Bromance. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So yes, I agree.
We all win.
It is borderline, but nonetheless, it's really funny to watch.
Yeah.
Really, really funny.
Okay, so let's move on to something that we actually have mentioned already, Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
Again, this is another one where your brother relationship gets a little weird.
Yeah.
Now,
especially these two guys, because it's always the same thing.
Yeah, and it's the trying to ruin the relationships, the fighting over girls, but the fighting over the same girl, but not.
Yeah, it's like guys fight over girls all the time. That happens, but when you have this sort of, you know, an actual brotherhood like this, or a friendship that feels like a brotherhood, and you're fighting over it, it sort of can turn into a bromance pretty easily.
Yeah,
especially in Vampire Diaries, where it is constantly like, I want her, no, I want her, oh, this and that, and you can't have her because she's gonna kill the entire town. And,
and not to mention the two of them, like, just having to look over each other as though, you know, it's one thing, yes, of course you have to love your brother and you know, look after him when he's all messed up, but like, it shouldn't be like, you know, a parent taking care of a 3-year-old, you know, and that's what this relationship gets to the point of, which really kind of throws it into that bromance sector.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not running to the hospital scene. It's running to the hospital and then making all his meals and then not leaving him for another 50 years.
Well, it's also,
and they're vampires, so they can actually do that.
It's also very romantic because they have their moments of, you know, liking one another.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because they live together in a castle.
Well, they do live together in a castle with no other people.
Yeah.
Because one of them decided to kill the other person that was there. And basically, but they do have these moments where,
ruining relationships with family.
Exactly. It fits in, exactly. And, you know, along with them living alone and ruining, friendships and relationships, you know, there's always times where they're either, you know, okay with one another or trying to kill one another.
Yeah.
Or, you know, at you know, wit's end. It's very, it's a very charged relationship with those two.
Yes. I'm thankful, though, that the editors and directors are good enough to not have them giving, like, longing stares at each other.
Yes, I'm glad that, you know, when they're
occasionally, like, in Buffy, like, Angel and Spike.
Yeah. You know, we have to deal with a lot of kind of, like, you know, semi-male nudity in the show, too, but at least they're not, like, fighting with one another while changing clothes. That would have just been a little too much. So, you know.
Or, like, Twilight, where they jump out of their clothes.
Yeah.
Weird.
I don't even...
Okay, let's move on to Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz.
Now, Hot Fuzz is one of those really funny situations because originally there had actually been a female part that was written into the movie, but they decided that it would be funnier and better to pretty much trade off all the things that were supposed to happen between the Nicholas Angel character and a female character to make it between Danny Butterman and Nick Angel.
Exactly.
Point Break or Bad Boys 2?
Which one do you think I'll prefer?
No, I mean, which one do you want to watch first?
You know, I gotta say, it's totally a date. It's a total date. Yeah, and I gotta say, after watching those movies, I really wanted to watch Point Break and Bad Boys 2 again.
I always want to watch those.
But yeah, you know, we love Hot Fuzz. We've talked about it a bunch of times how much we like it. But yeah, those two characters definitely go through sort of the traditional action movie romance.
Yeah.
Mixed with the sort of Lethal Weapon partnership.
Yeah, there's no attempt on either of their side to try and get any other sort of relationship.
Yeah.
It's just the two of them, and you know. I mean, Nicholas Angel, the Nicholas Angel character, you know, brings him a stuffed monkey that he won.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wins him a stuffed monkey, brings him a potted plant, you know?
Well, it's even funnier, too, that they start off, you know, the movie, before Nick Angel moves out, he sees his ex-wife, and, you know, talks to her, and, you know, there's no point, they can't reconcile, it's all over. So we kind of get that idea that he has no more relationship with a woman before he meets... You know, the other character, and it's just really funny how they kind of set that up and sort of how their relationship
blossoms
in this homicidal town that he's moved to.
Yeah, they you know, pretty much their entire day together is just a date.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the best part is, you know, when he asks him all the things that he's done, you know, has he ever, you know, shot a gun in the air while screaming? And, you know, they bring up, like, Point Break when, you know, those two characters have very much of a kind of romance also, And yeah, you know, I think all I can say is...
Danny, let's roll. What are you thinking? Pub?
So they're going to roll to a pub. So what exactly does that mean?
They're going on a date at the bar.
And then they're going to shoot a bunch of people, as I recall.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, most likely, yeah. You know, these two, it's really kind of like Mickey and Mallory now that I think about it. You know, it's sort of this relationship built on... just killing a lot of people.
Yeah, very true.
But they're all bad.
Yes. Next up, Interview with the Vampire. Louis and Lestat.
This scene's just borderline because it's almost just straight relationship between the two of these. You know, it's funny.
Yeah.
When I liked Interview with the Vampire when I was a little kid, and I didn't really understand the kind of... how do I put this? The kind of... homosexual overtones in the movie. They're not even undertones.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, it's kind of just an abusive relationship, you know?
Very much.
Like one of them was kind of forced into the relationship and really doesn't want to be there, and like, you know.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, unfortunately, I can't come up with a better example. It's sort of like a pimp and his new hoe.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like this person who finds this person who's very vulnerable and turns them out or turns them into a vampire.
Yeah.
And then kind of controls them and controls what they do and, you know, and makes them subservient to them.
And then somehow the one thinks it's a good idea to then start a relationship with a child.
Yes, yes.
Still, not a sexual relationship.
Well, do you remember
all?
How that whole thing went down, right?
Wasn't he, like, supposed to kill him or something?
Well,
or
the fact that, you know, she was going to die. And so Lestat, you know, basically told him, as I think he told him to turn her, because it was basically like I think Lestat tried to fix their relationship by bringing in a new child.
Yes.
You know, sort of like what a married couple does if they're about to get, it's either we get divorced or we have a kid.
Yes, and because children always make the relationship better.
Yeah, as I recall. So, you know, this is almost not romance. This is almost straightforward romance between the two of them. And, they're trying to kill each other. They love each other. They hate each other. There's certainly a dominant and a submissive. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, Interview with the Vampires, it's almost like beyond romance.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, let's move on.
We need to come up with a better term for, like, a vampire bromance. Like a vamp mass, or like a bro-vamp, or a bro-vamp mass.
We'll come up with something.
Okay, cool,
yeah.
Hopefully, but not as cool as what I just came up with.
Anyways.
How dare you.
Let's move on to Star Wars.
Oh, Star Wars.
Solo and Chewbacca.
It's not wise to upset a Wookiee.
You know, it sure isn't. You know, every time I think of Star Wars, I think of Spaceballs first.
Yeah.
I think of that relationship between Barf and Lone Star. And, you know, there's definitely a bit of bromance in that. But I would say there's certainly a bromance between Han Solo and Chewbacca.
Well, you know, it's one of those where he's the only one that understands me.
Literally.
Yeah.
Rawr! Yeah, I mean, it's
kinda
funny.
It's similar to C-3PO and and R2-D2,
totally.
That, you know, they communicate better with each other than anyone else, but it doesn't mean that they communicate in the happiest of ways all the time.
Well, you know, you gotta look at it from Chewbacca's point of view. You know, Han is just a really good listener.
True.
You know, think
very
about
true.
It. But yeah, you know, I mean, we didn't go back and watch all these things, but I recall from
don't tell them
the
that.
Original Star Wars that. Yeah, there was always a lot of back and forth and bickering between the two of them, and whether or not Han was going to go after Princess Leia or not. And you know, this isn't as kind of creepy and weird as a lot of the bromances are on television, but nonetheless, this is certainly a sci-fi bromance.
Well, you know, in a way, any bromance is weird where it's two different, I guess, species. I mean, they're guys from different planets. You know,
yeah.
one is a hairy Wookiee and one is human. And,
yes.
You know, so just in itself, you know, they're not just two different species, but they're two different species that look very different.
Exactly.
Although they are both bipeds, so at least they've got that
going
for them.
But Han sometimes thinks that Chewbacca's a big furry oaf. Did you know that?
Well, you know, that's just his pet name.
Get in there, you big furry oaf! I don't care what you smell!
He doesn't care what he smells.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is one of those things that, like you said, they're two different species.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the bromance can only be as creepy as it can be when, you know, two people are actually human.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is definitely a little different. And it's kind of hard to cite Chewbacca's half of the conversation, considering it's sort of like when you watch a show and someone's talking on the phone, but you can't hear the other person they're talking to.
Well, and I'm pretty sure that Han Solo prevented Chewie from getting home for Christmas.
Yes, he did.
I'm
pretty
sure that was what happened on the Christmas special. Like, they were, you know, like, Chewie was out with Han and couldn't get back to his wife and kids and dad or...
Exactly. A Snotty... What was the grandpa's name again?
Probably Snotty or something.
It was like Snot or something weird like that. Yeah, I don't remember. But yeah, it's true. See, so you're messing with the families and everything. And yeah, it's certainly a certainly bromance.
Uh-huh.
Nonetheless. So what we got next?
Next up, a man in his car.
A man in his car.
Kit and Michael Knight from Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is absolutely a bromance. The car does qualify as a man.
Yes.
I hate to be the one to break this to you, but automobiles are not human. They have no lineage or personality.
I wonder why I keep forgetting that.
Yeah. They don't have a personality, but they do. They do when they're Kit, and they really do when they're Carr.
Yeah, Carr. Oh man, yeah. The remake.
I wish I could have found clips from that when Carr was telling Michael, "I want you inside me,
Michael. You must be inside me." Yeah. It was a little weird to hear Optimus Prime say that, but what are you gonna do?
With the angels on Supernatural.
Exactly. Come on. Knight Rider. You're right. It's a man in his car. You know, there are some bromances that are not people.
It's funny because a lot of men over time have had bromances with their car, their cars don't even talk.
Yes.
Although at least they do name them like women's names and pretend they're in a relationship with them. That's true. Yeah. They name them women.
Cars are reliable, They won't run off with your best friend,
like your bro.
Yeah, like your bro could do that. But a car wouldn't do that because it wouldn't make any sense because it's a car.
Yeah.
I think
Michael and Kit are best friends.
They are best friends,
and they're more than friends because they. Well, I mean, Kit has the very much ability to ruin Michael's dates.
Oh yeah.
I don't know that Kit had dates, but if he did, Michael would ruin them.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be kind of strange. Yeah. But nonetheless, he probably did. Yeah, they show this stuff though in real life. Remember, we did that story a long time ago of the soldiers with their bomb disarming bots.
Yeah,
and how they grow relationships with them and friendships, and how if their bots get blown up, they go into severe depression, like their friend died.
Yeah.
And so this stuff is fiction, but also as fact, this stuff does happen.
I saw Terminator.
Exactly.
I know a boy and his machine can totally get
along. T2, exactly. And I think we definitely get to showcase that with Knight Rider.
Yes.
Without a doubt. And just one more thing to learn from Kit.
Contrary to popular belief, looks aren't everything.
There you go.
It is when you're finding a bromance.
Exactly. It totally is. Come on, Kit. Get real.
Okay. Let's move on to Superbad.
Yeah.
Again, wish I could have found the right quotes for this one, but when you've got the two best friends laying together in their
sleeping bags discussing how
they wish they could shout from the rooftops that they love each other.
Yeah, I love you. I love you too. Why can't we just say it more? What's
the
problem? And then he touches his nose. Boop. Yeah.
Granted, in the end, they did kind of both help each other get the girl.
Yes.
As much as they almost ruined it for each other.
Totally.
Yeah, but above all, being together was more important than getting to that party.
Yeah, really, it was. That's the funny thing, is you're right. It does showcase the fact that they're trying to get laid, right? Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing. They're trying to get girls, but in the end, they end up in bed together.
Well, let's not forget the potential threesome in the... in this bromance that the one was very upset was intruding on their bromance,
McLovin.
McLovin and Evan were going to live together at college.
You're right.
But Seth was going to have none of that.
Yeah, good call.
So, getting all upset that another man was moving in on his bromance. Like, that's just not acceptable, man.
It's funny because Superbad, in some ways is, it's going to sound weird. Some ways reminds me of Supernatural in the fact that, there is a whole lot of chasing after women going on, but at the end of the day, it really is the romance between the two guys.
Yeah, it's the chasing after women together.
Exactly. It's you're right. It's more important to be together, but the girls, are sort of like the conquest. But
yeah,
really,
they're really secondary, though.
Exactly.
Well, supposedly, the bromance term kind of started in a skater culture back in, the early 90s. And it was kind of referring to how skaters had this tendency to be, super extra close. And it makes sense, back then when skaters weren't really respected and were kind of always, running from the cops and they were... You kind of needed to stick together and always have each other's backs more than just friends.
On Venice Beach, too, so,
true.
A lot of crazy stuff goes on in Venice. But yeah, I need to. Now I gotta watch Lords of Dogtown just to see if the bromance is real or not.
Okay, a boy and his dog. Vic
oh
and Blood.
Man, yes, this is another one of those where it's not a human and a human.
No.
It is a male and a male, but not a human and a human. Yes, the little post-apocalyptic 70s movie, A Boy and His Dog.
And as long as the dog is actually talking, which the movie doesn't entirely make clear if that's really the case or if the kid's just crazy.
Yeah,
Vic is just crazy. But yeah, At least I hear the story makes it very clear.
I've seen enough bad adaptations where they don't bother telling you the whole story, but they mean to be telling you the whole story of the book, that I believe that the dog does talk. They just decided that because it was the 70s and maybe people have already read the story, they don't need to actually clarify it.
But I think the real thing to take away from this to know how bromance it is that the guy doesn't just give up the girl, but I believe feeds the girl to the dog.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole nother level of I pick the bro over the girl.
Yeah.
I mean, completely.
To a crunchy, chewy kind of level.
To the extreme you can never have. I mean, he literally had the choice to run off with the girl or kill her, cook her, so the dog could eat her and stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the choice, either the dog or the girl. And he definitely went bro before ho on that one, without a doubt.
Okay, let's move on to Battlestar Galactica.
That movie, by the way, is my favorite. I think that's my favorite Don Johnson role.
Yeah.
By far. He's spectacular,
actually.
It's my favorite
role of that dog.
Well, it's funny because I think of Don Johnson and I always think of, like, I think of, what is it, Miami Vice?
Mm-hmm.
I think of, what was the other one he did with Cheech Marin?
Yeah, that
Nash
one.
Nash Bridges?
Yeah, I think so.
But, like, a boy and his dog, he's just, like, a total psychopath.
Yeah, a little sociopathic child in a post-apocalyptic world.
Yes. And yeah, that dog is just out of control.
Okay. On to Battlestar Galactica.
Ugh.
Ty and Adama.
Yeah. That's quite a bromance going on
there. Yeah. Again, to the point where it totally destroys relationships with family. Ty's wife is saying, "You always loved Adama more."
Uh-huh.
Adama's son is going, "You always listen to Ty before you'll listen to me."
Yeah.
Adama kept Ty's wife from him, potentially stalling that relationship from happening, tried to keep the Cylon that he was getting with away from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're always messing with each other.
The two of them are always, because of the two of them.
Yeah.
Because of the relationship of them.
This is one of those cases of, like, brothers in arms, you know, because they've been in the military their entire lives, and one has always been under the other one. That wasn't even pun intended, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
And it's true. You know, like you said, everything you cited, it's either it's a relationship or it's a family thing, but, you know, they're totally down for one another.
Uh-huh.
And even when Ty found out, or even when Adama found out about Ty and his true nature of him, they still could be bromance. They still could be together.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing, man. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's funny, too, when you think about it, when you think of Battlestar, because we had to think about it for a while, because there's so many relationships in that show, and also, you know...
But none of them are, like, none of them are bromantic, except for Ty and Adama.
And it's funny, because Starbuck, and obviously in the original, was a man, and Starbuck and Apollo were both men, and now Starbuck is a female, so there's always this, you know, tension between Apollo and Starbuck in this newer version of it. And imagine if they hadn't changed it, you know, to a girl, you know, if that would be a bromance or not.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to think about.
And
that is the funny thing, though. A lot of just the relationships in general, the ones that were focused on, were between male and female.
Yeah, totally. Oh, you know, and I also think I recall once in a while Ty not exactly approving of Adama with the president.
Yeah, and not just because of her political ideas, but it's like, no, you don't take my Adama away from me.
Yeah, I mean, very much of the show would end, a lot of scenes in that show would end up with the two of them together in Adama's office, like, drinking and talking about the old times, and it's very it's very beautiful, very beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty, next, The Tick and Arthur.
Good morning, Arthur.
Oh. Awkward moment. Sorry there, Mothman. Didn't mean to interrupt, although I sure would like a slice of your righteous combat pie.
Like a slice of your righteous combat pie.
Who wouldn't? That sounds fantastic. Yes, The Tick and Arthur, we're going to take bites from the live-action, short-lived live-action series, but there was also, of course, the cartoon and the comic book.
Yes.
Created by Ben Edlund.
Wow, it's Ben Edlund. Ben Edlund, he makes the bromance go on.
Ben Edlund is good with the bromance, yeah.
He makes the bromance funny.
You got to think, too, you know, this isn't a bromance, but, you know, Spike and Angel, he did a lot of work on the last few seasons of Angel, too.
Yeah.
He wrote...
More frenemies than bromance.
Exactly. He wrote, what is it called? Smile Time.
Yeah,
you know,
best episode.
Edlund is really good with the bromance stuff, and Tick and Arthur are definitely there. Now, this one's...
They live together.
Yeah. Now, this one's really funny, because the thing about Tick is the Tick is insane.
He's completely
insane, and he completely believes he's a superhero 100%. So everything with him is just about being a righteous superhero.
Right.
And Arthur...
But, But that you can consider his relationship in a way. Like,
yeah.
Well,
Justice. Yeah, he has a
relationship, yeah. But Justice is his girlfriend.
Totally. I mean, he goes on with these long, you know, soliloquies about Justice and how he's with Justice and, you know, either Lady Justice or just Justice. And, you know, Arthur, you know, was like an office drone who always wanted to be a superhero.
Yeah.
And so together they have this relationship, you know, based on the want to be a superhero, and there's nothing that's sexual about it. Some of the bromance some of the bromance stuff comes off kind of either sexual or just relationship wise. In this one, anything that could be creepy is completely taken away by the fact that the tick is completely insane. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, but it does. This is another one. It ruins the relationship with Arthur's family. They're not so all on board. They're not on board with the superhero thing, and they're definitely not on board with the tick.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the tick would put aside Justice to go after Arthur.
Oh, call me Ishmael. Arthur, it's you. You smell good.
I don't know if that worked or not, but I like the smell good part.
Romance.
Total bromance. You know, and the best part about the tick, too, is you don't even really know if he's human in the comic book. Because he's always wearing that costume. And you don't see his face like Warburton in the live action, and he's got those antennas.
Yeah,
and he never takes costume off, so you don't even know what he is exactly.
Well, I love the idea that even in the live action, like his costume, there's no way to get out of that thing.
Yeah, it's impossible. It's completely impossible.
He is the costume.
Yeah. So at least you can guarantee that it couldn't go no further than bromance and the tick, purely because the tick could never take that thing off.
Very true. Okay, let's move on to another classic.
Yes,
Bert and Ernie.
Oh, man.
For years, people have always been like, oh, you know, they're in a gay relationship. And if that were the case, then that's fine. But it was never stated as the case. It's essentially the Odd Couple.
Exactly.
You know, it's two guys that are roommates.
I can't believe anyone would ever say anything about them possibly in a relationship.
Bert, wake up, Bert.
What? I'm awake. What?
Wait, were they actually sleeping in the same bed in that show?
It's possible.
Yeah, they might have double beds, like I Love Lucy.
You know, if Rubber Ducky were Rubber Bert, and he were taking a bath with Bert, that would be one thing.
Yeah.
But he's not.
Rubber Ducky.
You know, it's like, it's not a, like, they're best buddies. Always together, but like...
I have to say this, okay? I think the creation of the bromance is the best thing that ever happened to Bert and Ernie.
Yeah, that's
because,
true.
Because, like you said, everyone, you know, we all grew up with Sesame Street in the 80s, and now we all look back and we go, oh, obviously those two represent a gay relationship. And that's what everyone says who is now an adult who used to watch it. I think the bromance is great because now it doesn't have to be, they're just in a bromance. It's a beautiful, beautiful bromance, you know? They care for one another. You know, I mean, they care so much that, you know, they do special things for one another.
Hey, Bert! I brought home a surprise, Bert.
I can't imagine what that was, but I bet it was awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, when all else fails, just in case you're wondering if they are of a very close bromance, I think this will kind of, you know, this will quiet all of those disbelievers out there.
I think I'll tickle him. He'll feel that, I'm sure. Tickle, 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 tickle.
There you go.
Yeah, don't actually know if he was talking to Bert there.
But we just imagine he was. Yeah, let's just
can't
say
really
he was.
Imagine anything else.
These guys are definitely on the same realm as, like, the guys from Psych.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's very much, they're very close. They live with one another, and they, it's Bert and Ernie.
Okay, let's move on to the bromance world of Kevin Smith.
The bromance world of Kevin Smith, yes.
Now, between Jay and Silent Bob, and then in Dogma, Bartleby and Loki.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Smith takes on the bromance pretty well.
Oh, not only that, too. I was thinking about Chasing Amy.
Oh,
remember
the
two guys in Chasing Amy? The whole thing was like the one, they live together.
Yeah.
They do a comic book together, and then the one guy doesn't like Jason Lee doesn't like that Ben Affleck was going after Joey Lauren Adams because, you know, it was because she was a lesbian, but was it really just because she was a girl and you guys are in a bromance? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe he was, but you know, that one actually reaches the point of, well, is it awkward enough that, like, he's getting upset about the lesbian because he's upset about his own sexuality?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, not only that, wasn't the whole end of it, like, he wanted to do a threesome?
I think so.
Yeah, I think the Ben Affleck character decided the best way to solve the issue would be if the three of them had sex together.
Yeah, because that solves everything.
That actually, so basically this is what started a bromance that went beyond a bromance.
Yeah, so this took it a little too far.
This is a little E2 Mama territory,
But Jay and Silent Bob, there is nothing sexual between the two of them.
Jay and Silent Bob are in to his house!
Exactly.
And there is nothing sexual between them in his house.
Not at all. Yeah, I mean, they've had a few funny moments here and there where they've alluded to Jay possibly not being completely heterosexual.
Right, but not gay either.
Exactly.
And Silent Bob, you never get the impression that he's anything but straight.
Yes, but, you know, they are two peas in a pod.
Yes.
There is the dominant and submissive. There's the
they
guy
will
that,
give up on anything for each other.
Exactly. They're always with one another, 1 or 10%. They know each other's secrets, and, you know...
And they keep each other warm at night.
Yeah, very much so. You know, I think they would definitely go after romantic love, but they've already had conversations about if they were both, you know, going to have sex with the same chick. You
yeah,
know, who would go first?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So you know, they're making those plans together. So really, that's
really
it's kind of beautiful. Really, yeah, totally.
Alrighty. Okay, so we've got actually two different cartoons that we're going to now. First
cartoons,
off,
you know, we're finding a lot of bromances in cartoons. We weren't sure we were going to find at first.
Actually, I've got three cartoons.
Wow.
We can talk about. Yeah.
Wow.
We've got Timon and Pumbaa from The Lion King.
Yeah.
Aladdin and Apu from Aladdin.
Yeah.
And Fred and Barney from The Flintstones.
Wow.
They all kind of, you know, Timon and Pumbaa are a little tough because they don't really have families that, you know, that the relationship with each other could mess with. But they're like, they are best of buddies, always together. And the idea of a female of either of them is just kind of weird. But at the same time, they're not in a relationship.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. No, this is, you know, this is a straightforward romance. It's not too charged and too odd. It is Disney, and you know they can, when they put in their sexual jokes, you know, they try to put them in with a little more mystery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, I think that, you know, they seen a lot. You know, they're a fan of show tunes.
Yeah,
and they're both outsiders who found
yes.
each other. They adopted a kid.
Yeah, very
and,
true.
You know, and raised them. You know, so really, in a way, it's
Matt and Mohinder.
Yeah, exactly. Very much so. Yeah.
Aladdin and Apu. It's another one of those where it's not a guy and a guy. It's a guy and his monkey.
And a monkey. Yeah, a guy and his monkey. Yeah,
but
most like
know,
a boy and his dog.
His
yes.
monkey got upset when the genie came into the picture.
Yeah.
His monkey got really upset when Jasmine came into
yeah.
the picture. He was doing everything to try and prevent it, but at the same time when he realized how much Aladdin loved Jasmine, he wasn't gonna, like, you know, try and kill it. He was still gonna be there to help out, but he was gonna do it begrudgingly.
He's
like, you're my friend and I'll help you, but you suck.
He had to get rid of that, like, monkey jealousy.
He had to get that monkey off his back.
Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree. There was a nice little love triangle between Aladdin and the genie and Apu there, but luckily it all ended up okay with Jasmine at the end.
Now Fred and Barney.
Weren't they all ended up kind of all
well,
living together
yeah.
at the end? Yeah.
Well, with her dad, you know?
Yeah. So really, the bromance won out in the end.
Kind
of,
yeah.
Yeah, because even though he was able well, to
be with
Jasmine.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, JD still lives with Turk and Carl after
yeah.
they get married.
Yeah.
Anyways, Fred and Barney. One of the quintessential cartoon bromances of all time.
Definitely.
Hey, Barney! Let's go, pal!
Hiya, Petzl!
Pet names.
Yeah, pet names.
They ruin each other's kind of relationship with family, and
totally.
That, you know, they get into these shenanigans that prevent them from getting home, and it's
exactly.
not just like, oh, we're running out to bowl. It's like, we're running out to do shenanigans, even though we were supposed to have dinner with you, wifeys.
I gotta say, though, I always felt there was something going on between the two wives.
Maybe.
They felt very,
well, there might have been something going on between
another.
The two wives, but
yeah.
there was nothing going
yeah.
on between Fred and Barney,
no,
and that's
we
the
think,
important
we
thing.
We think they were a total bromance, but I'm starting to think that maybe the two wives are on the DL. Did they have, like, caveman down low?
No, I don't think
no.
they needed to.
No, yeah, they were just cavemen, yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know, they spent pretty much all their time together. I can't even remember a time when Barney wasn't just over at the Flintstones. I mean, he was hardly at home. Actually, Barney's family had to come to the Flintstones to
That's
get
true.
Barney.
Yeah.
And, you know, they worked together. They were both in that, what is it? The
quarry,
it
rock quarry.
No, the
bowling league?
Well, yes.
They
but,
went to a bar?
Shoot.
The Elks Club?
Yes, Elks Club. Yeah, exactly. That was it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Finally. I was thinking Freemasons, but that wasn't quite correct.
I mean, Elks Club isn't exactly correct either. It's like the Saber-Tooth Tiger Club or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, or something.
You know?
Exactly.
Or Woolly Mammoths.
Uh-huh. I think it was like
the
that.
The Order
exactly.
of the Mammoths.
Mm-hmm. Or something like that. And so, you know, they have their little secret societies, and, you know, they're very much down for one another. And it's a truly old bromance. It's
yes.
just really beautiful.
Okay. We're actually going to skip ahead to the last one. Doctor Who. The Doctor and the TARDIS.
The Doctor and the TARDIS, yeah.
That is a complete romance, although that's assuming the TARDIS is male.
Yeah, I don't know what the TARDIS is exactly.
But we do know that the Doctor strokes it.
Yes, the Doctor touches it and likes it very much. They're very down for one another for life.
The TARDIS almost ruined the relationship with his new companion from this season.
Yep, exactly. The TARDIS, you know, the TARDIS and the Doctor will always be together.
Yes.
The Doctor will not always be with Rose. He will not always be
one of the Doctors will.
Yes, exactly. But in the end, the Doctor will always be with the TARDIS.
Yes.
And though it's not a male or female, it's certainly a bromance.
It is. But actually, we are going to take our final break.
Couple of great geeks. Dave and Anna, the geekiest people you'll ever meet. On 92.5 KYHY, Geek World, Thursdays at noon.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, super host, anime, and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. So this has been our bromance show.
Yeah.
And it's funny, we actually never talked about the recent bromance movie that came out. Actually, it's on HBO now.
I Love You, Man.
Yeah. The start of an epic bromance.
Yeah, it was funny. You know, we saw it just the other day getting ready for the show. And yes, like you said, it is the more of the beginning of the bromance. You were usually used to seeing on TV and movies a bromance that has already been occurring for a while.
Yeah.
And this was sort of like seeing it flourish for the first time.
Yes.
And, you know, it was fun. It was a cute movie.
Yeah. So we went through a bunch of bromances that are in TV and movies.
Yes.
Largely modern ones.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're actually going to go through some relationships that seem like bromance, but they're not.
Yes.
Ones that that we've seen kind of listed places as bromance, but we totally disagree.
Yes.
We have some other lists too, but we're obviously not going to get to them this episode, but check our website because I think we're going to end up podcasting.
Yes,
so,
we'll attempt to do that. But like you said, these are not bromances.
Not bromances. They seem like bromance, but they're not. So let's start off with Bill and Ted.
Bill, my friend. Yes, Ted, my friend, this has been a most excellent adventure.
And wasn't it?
Oh, boy, was it.
It was a bogus journey, too, but definitely an excellent adventure.
Now, Bill and Ted don't fit any of the real tenets of what make up a bromance. While they do spend all of their time together, and while they do care very much about one another, nothing is really about them saving each other or, you know, dropping everything for one another. They just are always together.
Yeah, but they're sort of one unit.
Yeah, yeah. And,
or station.
And, yes, exactly. the two of them go off and find chicks together.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really hinder each other in anything. Their parents, they have issues with their parents, but it has nothing to do with their relationship. It has to do with the fact that they are slackers and that they're not doing well in school.
Well, yeah, and also, you know, the parents, it's funny watching these movies back as an adult now, because, you know, as a kid watching Bill and Ted, I love it, but the parents are also just, they're very, very true 80s type, like, what
you
was
mean
going
not,
on.
You mean not there?
Yeah, they weren't there. You know, there was the one dad who was rich and always, you know, messing around with, you know, the girl who was only a few years older than Bill and Ted,
mm-hmm.
and then there was the other father who was a cop, and he wasn't there because he was a cop all the time. But...
And then in the second one, he was messing around with
Exactly. And so, you know, it's true. There were a lot of parents there, and so those two guys really found each other and were best friends. And you know, they were wild stallions, and they did live together in the second one, and they even went through hell and a big adventure, but still not a bromance.
Yeah, not a bromance. Okay, How I Met Your Mother. We've brought this up a little. Ted and Marshall, Ted and Barney, none of it is bromance. There is no bromance there. They're just buddies that enjoy each other's company and, you know, are buddies for more reasons than just, we're men! We can be friends!
Yeah, and you know, it also pretty much all the time, you know, Marshall's with Lily, but all the other time, it's always like Ted and Barney, you know, either being each other's wingman or, you know, they're always trying to help each other get chicks.
It's funny because you could almost say that Ted and Robin have more of a bromance than Ted and any of the guys.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. Let's actually move on from there to the Big Bang Theory. Yeah. Sheldon and Leonard.
Yeah.
So we brought up Kuthra Polly and Wallowitz before and how much of a bromance they're in. But
totally.
Sheldon and Leonard, not a bromance.
Nope.
Now, it does seem like it because, you know, Sheldon has a tendency to kind of screw with people's relationships. But that's just Sheldon.
Yeah.
With Leonard, it's like he's buddies with Sheldon in the same way that, you know, you take care of a sick bird.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. You know, it's funny because you can cite the fact that, yes, they live together, and why doesn't Leonard move out or go away? But you're right.
Well, if he could move across the hall with Penny, he would.
Yeah, exactly. But you're right. You know, he's very sympathetic, and it is like taking care of a sick bird. Yeah, and also, you know, his mom kind of put him in a weird psychological place, too.
It's not the same thing as House and Wilson, where Wilson, like, you know, takes care of House and then, you know, but also helps, you know, and House, you know, does things for him, too. It's, you know, this one is more... Sheldon does his thing, and Leonard deals with it.
Yeah, I don't know if this... I remember when we first watched this show, I really felt that Sheldon and Leonard were based off C-3PO and R2-D2.
Yeah, kind of.
If nothing else, looks-wise. You know, yeah. There's a tall, skinny guy who's kind of, you know, kind of a boner. I don't know. What's a good way to put him? He's kind of a...
Yeah, I think, really.
And then there's the short, little one who's kind of funnier and just spinning around all the time, you know.
Yeah,
there you
go.
So, really, that's what Big Bang is.
Yes.
It's, you know, those guys.
Okay. On the show Numbers...
Yeah.
David and Colby.
Yeah.
Again, not a bromance. Now, they...
Though everyone calls it a bromance.
Yeah, they kind of walk the kind of tightrope as a work bromance.
Don't call it a bromance! I've been here for years! So.
But the actual friendship doesn't interfere with anything. It actually helps their work relationship.
Yes.
It really just serves to show that they've been working together for long enough that... they've surpassed just being work people.
I mean, in so much that, you know, they even used that to their advantage to win that one bet against that girl, and they took each other
seriously,
out as a date.
Seriously, you know?
So, really.
They could claim to have the most attractive date.
So it's, you know, strategically, you know, they use the sense of a bromance at their advantage, but they are, in fact, not an actual bromance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Lord of the Rings, the other two hobbits, Merry and Pippin.
Don't talk to it, Merry. Don't encourage it.
Merry and Pippin are really all you can call them is stoner buddies.
Totally.
You know, they just like to sit in the tree and smoke their herb.
They're kind of like less brave Bill and Ted's.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, they don't really have like a relationship other than like, hey, look, it's you and me, and we like to eat and smoke things.
Yeah, I guess really when you look at the Hobbits, it's sort of like it's sort of like Bert and Ernie and Bill and Ted.
Yeah, a little
bit.
They're
all just kind of running around and you know, getting separated and doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, Bad Boys. Marcus Burnett and Mike Lowry.
Yeah, Mike Lowry. Once again, another one, you know, they're very close. They spend all their time together. They work together.
Yeah. Yeah. Neither, it's their job that interferes with their relationships more than their friendship does. I mean, you know, I don't think Mike was even happy to have Marcus in his house in the first one.
Oh, he wasn't.
Let alone pretending to be him.
And Marcus was very unhappy to have Mike in his house in the first one, remember? Because he kept on thinking he was going to, like, put the moves on his wife.
Yeah.
And so he kept on trying to, like, do surveillance, and he, like, fell into the kiddie pool and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're just traditional... close buddies and work partners.
And they bicker a lot.
Yeah.
They do bicker like a couple a lot.
They do, but bickering just, you know, bickering means that you're close enough friends with someone that you can get into little arguments and it's not going to affect your friendship.
Yeah.
That's what bickering means.
Definitely.
It doesn't mean you're a married couple.
Definitely.
Alrighty. Star Trek. Kirk and Bones. Looks like a bromance.
Yes.
But it's not.
As a physician, you of all people should appreciate the dangers of reopening old wounds.
Reopening old wounds and doors.
Something got steamy in there. Oh, yeah, doors. Yeah, you know, I remember when one of the first times I saw Khan, I was like, wow, these two guys are really, they're close. You know,
it's funny.
They talk about their feelings with one another.
The new movie actually kind of really solidified why you understand why Bones and Kirk are the way they are.
Yeah.
They just kind of clicked. They meshed because, well, Kirk kind of can mesh with anybody.
Yeah, well... there's no competition there.
Yeah.
They're the same kind of person, except, you know, they're not competing over something.
Yeah, yeah. Kirk will never have to worry about Bones going after, well, really any chick.
Yeah,
And Bones doesn't really have to worry about Kirk, well, anything.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're perfect friends because they really don't expect anything from one another other than what Starfleet expects of them.
And I think that McCoy appreciates that Kirk acts as a buffer between him and Spock.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
So, okay. Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday in Tombstone.
Yeah.
Looks like a bromance, but it's not.
Got very close, you know. And this is, of course, based on real life. And also, Kevin Costner made the movie Wyatt Earp a few years ago with Dennis Quaid. And, you know, they, those they have a very close relationship for gunfighters in the Old West, and and you know they're not a bromance because they don't mess with each other's a women's situation, but at the same time, they're very much, at least in Tombstone, they're very much down to help one another, even if life.
But part of the reason that it's not a bromance is because the real reason of why they're kind of so close at the end is just that Doc Holliday is pretty much on his last legs throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
And so, any time that somebody is dying throughout an entire movie, all emotions are heightened.
Yeah.
And so it's more heightened emotions because someone is dying than it is, look at us, we're bromantic.
Yeah, it's such a great relationship between those guys, and that's why there's a few movies with them, because, it was all about the appreciation, It was sort of like the angel and the demon, It was the one who was all about enforcing the law and the one who was all about breaking the law.
Yeah.
But neither one of them really went against each other, and they helped each other, and they brought the best out of each other. I always remember in Tombstone when Val Kilmer's character is Doc Holliday went and, fought Johnny Ringo for Wyder because he knew Wyder would get killed if he fought Johnny Ringo. And an excellent moment with Michael Biehn, by the way. So, you can't beat it.
Okay. Iron Man, Tony Stark and Jim Rhodes. In the recent movie, it very much looked like it could have been a bromance.
Hello.
Tony.
Who's this?
It's Rhodes.
Sorry, hello?
I said it's Rhodes.
Speak up, please.
What the hell is that noise?
It's so awesome.
I mean, that's, that's the girlfriend calling and you pretending not to be able to hear her, you know?
I always thought it was really funny in that first movie when the two characters are in the plane. I don't remember where they're going. I think they're going to where he gets abducted.
Yes.
And there's, the pole dancing girls, and the whole time, Rhodes is just sitting there, complaining to him about work or something.
Well, in
like
the
that.
Beginning. By the end of the trip, he's all partying. But that's kind of the thing. It's not that it's a bromance. It's that they are friends, but they're also very much opposites. Jim Rhodes is all about the work.
Yeah.
He's all about the mission.
He's a military man.
And Tony Stark is all about excess.
Yeah.
And they're lucky that they can have the friendship they do.
Yeah.
And I think they both appreciate that, but it's not romantic. It is purely a strong friendship with mutual respect.
Definitely, definitely. Not a bromance.
Alrighty. Next Generation. Star Trek The Next Generation. Geordi and Data, and also Riker and Worf. Neither bromances.
No. Geordi and Data, I would say, come the closest because they're very, very close. But that's another example of the outsiders.
Yes.
Geordi has issues with, regular people. Not because he's blind, but because he's, super science guy.
Yeah.
Data has issues with people because he's an android.
Well, Geordi did once find love in the holodeck.
Yes. A lot of people found love in the holodeck.
Then he actually met the real chick, and that was awkward.
That was really weird. Though nothing will be as awkward as anything that Barkley does.
But in all of those cases, none of them would mess with any of the others' relationships. None of them are so attached to the other one that they can't be without them. It's just they all have such a deep mutual respect for one another. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases, it's like Worf and Riker. Riker is the person that Worf is best suited to get along with because they're both kind of rough.
It's the warrior thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally.
And like you said, Geordi and Data, it's the outsider.
And they both came from families that were also very hardcore and very strict they totally had that.
Okay, District B-13.
Yeah!
Leto and Damian.
Oh, yeah, man. Those guys are so cool. Yeah, not a bromance, they kind of, they're from literally different sides of the wall.
Yeah.
I guess you could say, one is a how do you put this? A man in an urban jungle trying to do right and fight against injustice.
Beautiful.
And then, thank you. And then a police officer who, is also trying to fight against injustice. And they
in
sort
a corrupt,
of,
in a corrupt, corrupt government.
Yeah, exactly. And, once again, it's these two guys of these different towns that come together to save the day. And they do kind of form this close bond, sort of a badass bond. But, in the end, it's certainly not a bromance. Not by any means. They don't mess with each other's, relationships or anything like that.
Well, unfortunately, we didn't get time to make it any more through this list.
Okay.
But check out our podcast. Check out the website, geekworldradio.com, and we will try and have a podcast up with the rest of these and some of our other fun lists of bromance. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio.